The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expanding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Expanding reality.
Welcome to Expanding Reality. I am your host, Brandon Thomas, on this incredibly cool episode. Owen Hunt, the host of the Blue Collar Mystic podcast, comes by to drop some absolute knowledge on that ass, as well as we continue the Creative Expansion Art Series with Clinton Kirk. Now, it's all going to be linked down in the show description, how to find both of these gentlemen, as well as the video version of this, which I highly recommend. Owen and I caught ourselves several times just watching the artist, and it was incredible. So, could not thank these gentlemen enough, as well as make sure that you check out the Patreon link down in the show description to support your favorite show, get access to all of the cool stuff, as well as the afterthoughts, guys. We have an amazing afterthought on this one. We go balls deep on the birds aren't real, and maybe fucking none of it's real. So check the links down there for all of that stuff. But for now, and without any further ado, Owen Hunt.
Feeling great. Ready to rock. I'm putting mine on Do Not Disturb by. I'm going to throw it in the fucking back of the toilet. Just take an upper decker. You know what I'm saying? Tossing the iPhone in, dude. I'm done.
And on that note, Owen Hunt, welcome to this thing we call Expanding Reality, dude. It is so cool to connect with you on this platform. You, of course, had me on your show, Blue Collar Mystic. You are the Blue Collar Mystic. I'm going to be linking all the ways to find you, your website, of course, which hosts all of your other links as well. But we're going to throw a couple others, your Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Make it a little easier for folks to find you over there. And dude, it is so cool to chill with you. I also want to let the audio-only audience know that we have a part of our Creative Expansion Artists Live Art Series continuing here. And we have Clinton Kirk hanging out. And man, this dude is also featured in a couple of our journals that we have out for publish, our Creative Expansion Series, which is all about art and all about promoting your creativity. And we sort of do a co-collective creative process with that. Clinton, like I said, is featured there for, again, the video version. Link down in the show description, guys, if you want to check it out. But this man is amazing. We are grateful for him dropping some scribbles and some energy on this bitch. So fuck yeah, man. Clinton, thank you, dude. Always find him, of course, located down below. All right, and he is going to join us for the afterthought, which I highly recommend you guys check us out for those. They're going crazy. He's Clinton already, just three words, birds are real. I'm upset, so we're going to talk about it, and we're going to get into birds, and it's because it's insects too, man. You know, it's so many things, but again, don't get me fucking fired up right now. We're going to talk about it in the afterthought and many other things. So want to, again, remind the audience that all the ways to find you are located down in the show description. Owen, how are you, dude? It's good to see you.
It's great to see you. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me, Brandon.
Dude, fucking A, man. You are a comedian, a raft guide. You are an author. You've got a new book, The Kabbalion, and we're going to talk about all this kind of stuff. You're a podcast host. Is there anything you don't do that you're looking forward to crossing off that list?
Anal? No, people ask me how I get, you know, a bunch of things done, and I'm very fortunate to live the lifestyle that I do, and I don't have as many distractions as probably a common, more ordinary person might have. And that's taken some work on my part. Like, it's taken me some time to get to that point. But I absolutely love all the things that I do. I coach, I do comedy, I produce shows and do the podcast, and everything kind of, it all kind of overlaps. So it might seem like I do a lot of things, but it's all very focused and centered around what I believe my purpose on the earth is.
Which is what?
To bring people joy. It's a simple.
I love that.
It's a simple one. And that's one of the ones, one of the things that I really like to work with people on is just like a purpose statement. And there's layers and levels to it, but I think you kind of start with just one statement that you can kind of like hold on to. And when you wake up and it's a shitty day, or, you know, you get a call from a bill collect, whatever trigger it is, you know, you're like, well, you know what? Back to my mantra, back to me, back to my center. What is that? Why am I here? Because I can make people, you know, enjoy, have a little brief fleeting moment of joy in a grocery store line, at, you know, at a random gas station. I could anywhere do that. I can also get on stage and, you know, make anal jokes or whatever, and give people a giggle. And so that's good. I love teaching too, and sharing is, it's, yeah, dude, I'm so excited to be here and sharing with you and your audience. Cause I fucking love you, man. And I love what you're doing. It's awesome. How cool too, that we have Clifton.
Yeah, Clinton. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's Clinton. Okay. His screen name's Cosina on his screen name there, but Clinton. Yeah. Yeah. It's all good. But isn't that crazy cool, dude?
I love how he's using the back of the translucent paper to add depth to that. It's genius.
The dude in his mediums. He sent us some art, and I have it hanging up in my studio. It's massive. It's like at least 3 feet by 2 feet wood that he painted on. So it's like this, but wood with all these colors, and it's like a dude under the sea. I'll take a picture of it. I'll include it here. There you go. And it's absolutely beautiful. Plus, he sent us a few other things. Again, amazing. And this is just so cool. I love that we do this. I love that we get to feature artists and that we have an opportunity for them to show what they can do, man. This is just so cool. Plus, I mean, this is fascinating. On the portals when with Rita, my wife and I were sitting there listening to Brian and I talk, but we were both watching Rita. I looked over at her and I was like, I'm just watching the portal being made. She's like, I'm mesmerized. I can't look away. So same thing. This is just such a cool feature. And I'm grateful that these incredible artists are around us that want to share their talent. So definitely check them out in the show notes, guys. But Owen, dude, you and I met because you were going to come out to our Georgia event back in May, and that thing pivoted a bit and it all worked out for the best, as they do. But you were actually going to come up and roast humanity from Bigfoot's perspective in a Bigfoot outfit. And I just thought that this is one of the most creative things, the way your mind works. You're just insightful as shit with your ability to dive into the deep and the esoteric and teach these incredibly complex concepts, not only with clarity, but also with humor and with ease. You know, you adapt this with such a grace, but it's so rare, but it's such a beautiful light to see. So again, I'm elated for this conversation. Absolutely love you and what you're doing, my friend. So in fact, just for your own words here, just for the audience that may not be too familiar with you, how did this all start? You know, give us just a quick overview and what you're excited about that you're working on now.
Yeah, well, it's been a life up to now of exploration, just being a curious person. I would say that's probably my biggest strength, is just curiosity. But really, I dove down into the conspiracy sort of rabbit hole in 2012, right? And we are going to talk about birds aren't real. So I strongly recommend people hanging out for that, because I can make the case that nothing is real. Ooh. But anyway, we won't go there. But ultimately, crippling depression, those are the two words that really kind of got me on the spiritual journey and the self-help, because I got so victimized by my own mind, all the conspiracy stuff that I was learning and studying, which was all, you know, good, true stuff, but I really had a hard time processing it and living in the world in a, you know, functional way emotionally back in those days. I mean, you've been around the block for some time, but it's like people were talking about this stuff more now than ever. And there really wasn't a whole lot of ways to connect to people and share. I would try to talk to my family about this kind of stuff, and that didn't go well, but it put me on the spiritual path. And ultimately I found several different books, the Kybalion definitely being one of those. And that kind of helped me to resolve the conspiracy stuff and empower myself, because it's like, ultimately, as much as we want to change the way the world is and the way the world works, it's just never going to happen. So those principles of like natural law, how the world works, instead of fighting against them, I ultimately said, you know what? I surrender. I can't beat you, world. But I learned a lot because of that, because prior, I would have never even known or realized that my heart and mind could be on the same page, like the same team, you know, like my, what I want and what I enjoy doing could actually line up. I thought you either had to be completely logical and go down the, you know, finance bro path or whatever, or completely creative and go down the starving artist path. Right. So worlds and worlds have opened up to me through the whole journey, but just finding out insights about myself, understanding purpose, ikigai, from, that's like an ancient Japanese thing, but it has a lot to do relating to purpose, relating to mission, passion, your goals, what you can do and what you can give to the world, and resolving a lot of that. That's kind of what's gotten me here. And I really just want to help to propel other people and help them understand themselves at a deeper level, see themselves in context, and take a lot of these very heady esoteric ideas and concepts and just bring them down to earth. The whole blue collar mystic thing, that's really what that's about. I'm from West Georgia. I grew up around a bunch of meth heads. You know, I've done lots of it. I don't anymore, but you know, but I did. And it was good. I'll be honest. It was like, it made you feel good.
It's too fun.
Too fun. No, but yeah, I mean, like people like that, simple people, like regardless of who you are, I want to be able to teach people these ideas and impart them to them in a way that's just easy and makes sense. It's like, if I can give you a few tools, a few ideas that you can put into practice today in the next 20 minutes, first, I'll give you one. You're probably a shallow breather. If you're watching this, you probably meditate and shallow breathe. You probably shallow breathe even when you think you're breathing deeply. So check that. That's huge. That'll change your life. That'll change your fucking life. Just not breathing shallow anymore. We're not getting enough oxygen, just standard. So, you know, just a simple thing. But there's a lot of other little simple things. The Kabbalion, the natural law principles, people talk about that a lot in both the spiritual world and in the conspiracy world. Because if you read the intro, there's some insight in there. I didn't even put the intro stuff in the version that I did recently, because it's just all these, you know, plebs or swine, you know what I'm saying, basically. And it's like, I think we can skip that part. Like, let's go to the principles, you know. But in essence, you know, I started out crippling depression, lots of conspiracy stuff, 1984, Brave New World, the Panopticon, a school system, and then ultimately found Self-Reliance by Emerson, As a Man Thinketh by James Allen, and The Kabbalion and Reality Transurfing. And those were the books that really shaped the way I view the world now.
How do you give so much without burnout? Have you balanced that?
I've burned out a couple of times.
By burning out, did it teach you how to regulate your energy and be a little bit more mindful of it? How have you done that?
Yeah, I've got to work on that, because it could easily happen again, and I either have to just plow through it. I think that's my strategy for now. I hate to say that, because that doesn't give anybody else dealing with that very useful tools to solve the problem. But that's kind of where I'm at right now, actually, in one of my businesses where I am actually pretty burnt out, but I'm just continuing to move through it. It sucks, but I'll be honest.
What's interesting, you said that depression led you to spirituality, because spirituality led me to depression, and that kind of led me the other way, where I'm completely kind of
interesting.
Not, it's just an interesting, it's a paradox in a way.
It is a paradox. Well, everything is, you know?
Yeah. Well, fuck yeah, man. I mean, everywhere you go, and that's why they get this to this idea that if you do look around intellectually, and no matter how smart you are, it is all fucking paradox around here. That's actually your highest level. And it was when you can look at things and go, oh, it's all paradox. Oh, got it. So all of it's full of shit in a way. So then it's about navigating forward with uncertainty. But this is where like your heart comes into play, right? But the other point to that, and how I've how I've felt about that, I'm just asking you about how you feel about this, is that when I lead with my heart, that's when it's like it gets broken the most. You know, it seems that you're asked to throw it on the outside of your body, but this world is inhospitable for that. And it breaks your heart constantly with all sorts of things. So I think, how do you manage that?
It's trying to have as much perspective from an objective place as possible. You know, the Reality Transforming book is like your two parts, observer, participant, you know?
Yeah, direct.
Kybalion talks about the me and the I, you know? And so the me is the mental womb. That's your emotional mind. You know, that's the feminine. That's the moment, the part of you that just moves and flows and feels, and you don't know why, you know? And then you've got the masculine component of yourself, which is that observer, that strong awareness, that's static. It never, ever, ever goes away. So I tell anybody who's like looking into this stuff, if you want the cheat code to the Kybalion, it's chapter 14, mental gender, because it's talking about this stuff. And I'll try to make it as simple here as I possibly can for everybody. But just like, yeah, that's really the thing to understand. People who do very, very well are strongly identified with the I, which is where the will is located, the masculine will. The will impresses upon the heart and creates emotion. And that emotion is experienced in our awareness. So that's that mental womb. So we want to impress upon that mental womb whatever it is that we want to come toward us and whatever those emotional experiences are. I think a lot of times we get locked up on the results. Trust me, I want fucking results. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to not get results, but it's again, a paradox, because it comes back to like dispassionate action from like the Bhagavad Gita, right? Like you're taking action for the sake of the action. So what is it that we can find if that's bringing people joy, right? Like there's a lot of different actions I can take. You know, I can tap somebody on that I know and on the shoulder and sneak up on them at the grocery store and surprise them or whatever. You know, there's a million different tools that I can use in order to do that. But whatever that is, just finding ways to put it out there into the universe. So using those tools. So distinguishing, and this is a paradox, but distinguishing the I from the me is how you become whole as one, right? Like to resolve those two opposites. If that makes sense.
Distinguishing though, but do you just mean by recognizing it and saying, oh, my needs in this physical body are just because of the physical body's needs, and that particular part is going to require this, but my spiritual body knows better, and that delineation between the two, is that how you're navigating it?
I would say like that, and this is going to sound a little crazy, but it's true. Like our brains are just always playing tricks on us.
Fucking A.
So we have to go behind that and say, okay, as the person who knows my fucking brain is lying to me all the fucking time to keep me safe, you know, all the time to keep me safe. So we have to continuously learn to challenge that and embrace whatever the sort of emotional result is, but thinking causally. From the cause. The more we back up or go up into awareness, into observer, the more we're at the cause, the more we're at the will. And that's why you see the strong people, you know, they may be shit bags too, frankly, you know, but they control their state. They control how they feel by leveraging their will and operating a little bit more from that masculine perspective. They may not even be spiritual people. They may not even associate to any of that or have any real insight. They may be complete fucking robot lizards, but they do understand the principle of leverage from the eye. And from that observer perspective, because it lifts you up higher and higher and higher at higher and higher and closer to the cause, as opposed to in the emotionality of the effect, like just being tossed around by whatever's going on. Like, oh, there's not enough gas. There's a gas crisis this week. Well, if you're operating in your eye, you know, well, this will end in 2 weeks. You don't have to run out and buy a bunch of shit and fucking milk sandwiches because, you know, there's going to be a temporary thing that's happening. So it's really about not getting swept up in the emotions of the thing, the rhythm of whatever society or our little group that we're associated with is being affected by.
He nailed it with this, man. It's like Sam Tripoli brought this up, that it feels like a haunted house around here, that really nothing's going to get you. but it all scares the shit out of you, or it invokes an emotion, right? And so it's a fascinating thing. Like, none of the chainsaws here, as far as the Matrix is concerned, have like real chains on them. You know, they're duds. And so that's an interesting perspective, to think that everything here is just trying to terrify you. Your brain's in cahoots with it, and it wants to pull you down those rabbit holes as well, because it feels like it's important to do so. But retraining your brain and resetting your nervous system, like, what does that look like for you to be able to, what's your process or some tips on that for folks?
There's a lot of things that you can do. And the first thing that I've kind of recently learned that's kind of mind blowing is just going out and being social. It's like, we are all in this spell of literally fucking social whatever. And you feel like you can't, I don't know, speak loudly at the grocery store. I mean, name it, right? What is the Eastern saying? It's like the nail that sticks up gets hammered down or something like that.
That's why I walk around the grocery store with a fart maker. I love these things.
Yes,
for this exact reason of what you're talking about.
I just rip ass as I go through.
I'm not as reliable. You know, if I was more reliable, I would. If I knew my potion, my entourage effect, then I would. But that's Old Faithful right there.
Dude, I just save it all up for the grocery. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, I don't even need anything.
That's
just have to fart.
Yeah, all the chips flavor, they're all Bootsy fart flavored chips. Every single bag on the aisle.
Oh, like you intentionally walk to the porous containers, you know, so to make sure it seeps in. All of you. You're just spreading love, man.
Yeah, man. It's all
interesting way of doing it. That's your mission, right?
That's right, dude.
You're living your purpose.
Pure joy, baby. You know? Spread it out.
I'm having fun that you do that. That's great.
No, but seriously, I mean, I think our brain, again, back to our brain lying to us. And this is stuff that I've kind of recently picked up. It's helped me a ton to just get out. And like, if you go out somewhere socially, just start talking to random people, as many random people as you can. Everyone. It doesn't even matter what you say, especially if you say it with, you know, an air of confidence around you. But it's amazing what a vacuum there is. People are looking for authority so much that if you go out there and just pretend like the fuck you know what you're talking about, they'll start following you around. You'll have a cult on your hands in about 20 minutes if you're not careful.
There was a guy that stood there in line with a lint roller at a place and like wanded people down as if it was a metal detector, and everybody stood there with their arms out and shit. Have you seen this? It's white. It's got lint and fuzzes hanging off of it, and he's just going like this, and people are stopped and just all about it.
There it is. That's how asleep people are. Like, that's literally how asleep most people are. And that includes myself too. I'm not like just being like, oh, these, you know, lower swine that are so sleep. No, dude, we're all in this, like, I mean, we don't have to go back but a couple of years to really see physically evidence of this, but you can absolutely see it, you know? And it's like, if you can figure out a way to just get yourself into that, because everybody's had like a banger night where you've gone out and just crushed, and all your friends were fun and you were happy and you were felt comfortable and you were surrounded by people that you loved. You can do that anytime, you know, like, and so by doing that, it can actually, this crazy, your brain will open up because your brain's lying to you. You can't talk to that person. You can't say that. That's not socially acceptable. That's rude, whatever it is, right? Especially in the South. But if you just start challenging that and you get into like a bit of a flow, like a social flow state, your brain will open up in a way that is completely new to you. Like a child's, like a 6 or 7 year old, like about 6 or 7. That's when our brain starts fucking shutting down because they shoved us into the institutions and made us shut down that part of our brain that just like runs around with its eyes closed and plays silly games and doesn't really care about what anybody else thinks. Like, all of that stuff is all social conditioning. It's all programmed into us through the indoctrination centers and the media and all that. But we can challenge it. And it's really, really cool to be able to do that. You will find out that you're a completely different version of yourself. It's kind of like taking ecstasy, if anybody's ever done that. But you don't have to take any drugs. You just go out and start literally talking to everyone. Everyone, right? It doesn't matter, you know, and just start saying hello, talking to them. They'll be enamored. They'll be like, how is this person doing this? You know, and it'll surprise you too. But it's like, you could go somewhere, and you don't have to do this in your hometown, by the way, if it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable to go somewhere else outside of town, but like literally just in the street at night, just, or in a club or bar or whatever, just go up and just start talking to people. It sounds so weird, but it's a super simple hack, and it really can change your emotional state really quickly. It's a lot harder to do it. Like, I'm by myself a lot. So like, I'm driving, I'm by myself working at home, you know, so I'm alone a lot. And so the longer you're alone, I think the more you're going to get in your head. So it's like, it's a really good practice, I would say, to just go out and be social in some way and start tearing away the layers of social conditioning. You'll notice the people that are having the most fun and who are probably the most successful and things like that are operating in a way and communicating in a style that comes off and basically shows you that they don't give a shit, that it's like a millionaire, a rich man doesn't have to tell you that he's rich, that type of thing. It's the way that, you know, we can learn to carry ourselves and speak in a way that people will key off of that. But it starts out with just going and with the faith, knowing that your brain is lying to you, going out there and doing something. And there's other things too, obviously, that can increase, you know, I love hiking, rafting, like you were talking about, all that outdoor stuff. But I just recently learned about going out and just being sober and being social. You know what I'm saying? Like, most people go out and drink and you see what happens. They have a good time. They get out of their head, but you don't have to take drugs or drink or any of that to literally like open up your fucking mind. It's crazy.
Cheesy as it sounds, high on life, you know, I'm not a proponent of that saying, cause I'm usually got cannabis going on, but high on life is an interesting way to go about it, you know, and it's this idea of just breaking the ice with new people. All really it takes is a smile. You know, I heard this tip of treating portals or doorways as smile cues. And every time you walk through a door, smile, no matter what it is. And practice around your house, you know, like a weirdo. Just walk through your door, walk through your bathroom, whatever, smile. And when you do this in a doctor's office or a store or something like that, maybe you're the only smile that person's seen or that person working at the desk has seen. And so it's interesting when you put these kind of things into perspective, especially when you put them into action. Now, that fart maker is a great icebreaker. It's great. But another one for some tips is you can go up to somebody randomly and just ask them, hey, how much does a polar bear weigh? And they say, oh, no, be like enough to break the ice. How you doing? You know,
that's a great one.
Yeah, it's fun. Another one that's fun and funny and it'll catch them off guard is a friend of mine at work used to do this. He'd walk up to a complete stranger, walk by somebody and just go, hey, you dropped your pocket. You know, like that. And then, of course, they look and of course they laugh because they instantly realize, how would you drop a pocket? What are you talking about? Right. Everybody looks, everybody laughs. So that's a fun one. But highly recommend this, you know, because, again, maybe it's a lot of people just don't get talked to. You talked about this social conditioning. And I think it's fascinating because that's the biggest thing. And your brain will tell you it's social conditioning for a reason, so that your liar fucking pants on fire brain will get in cahoots with this thing and get you on board with not being communicative and not making connections. And when you shun that and you tell it to absolutely eat the biggest, fattest dick it possibly can, man, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think we put ourselves in our own prisons so often, right? Like, it's like, fuck, I'm an introvert. Yeah. I just don't like talking to people. Bullshit. If you got out of your head, I don't care how much of a fucking introvert you are. If you got out of your head, you were having a lot of fun, you were around people that you really liked, having a great time, you wouldn't be identified with that idea of yourself, you know what I mean? You just be enjoying and doing crazy shit that was completely and totally irrational and fun, you know? So I think it's good for us to get into that place. It's like everything that's happened has made us less social, less social, less social. Even social media makes us, ironically, less social in a lot of ways.
Terrified of being social. Yeah.
Just because we're communicating, right? We're communicating in a different way. And it's like, it's a completely different dynamic if I come up to you and talk to you versus if I send you a message in your inbox. It's not even really comparable as far as the interaction and the emotions of that interaction go. There's all these human hormones that we, you know, our factories, our bodies are factories of hormones. And so whenever we connect and talk and do the physical things that we're supposed to do, you know, we're supposed to get social and be social at night. There's a tribal instinct inside of us. So that's where that comes from. And that's where that need and desire comes from. And what we've done is we've turned it into go to the pub and get drunk or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to shit on anything. Do whatever it is that makes you happy. I don't care about that. But my point being is that it kind of gets often hijacked into something that's not the purest form of what it actually is, which is just being social, probably like running and dancing around a fire and just, you know, probably being, you know, very joyful and worshipful even. I don't know, like that might sound corny, but I don't care. The thing is it's just so easy for us to And that is the social conditioning, to succumb to this idea that, oh, I'm an introvert, or, oh, I couldn't do that, or any of that. And I strongly encourage and recommend anybody challenge that belief and challenge the way that your brain is lying to you. It's not about ignoring feelings, you know, when I'm talking about coming from that I place, because you want to understand and experience those feelings. And I do believe the heart should lead the way. And back to your point, the heart getting broken. Buddy, I feel you on that. It's happened quite a few times. And I would say my heart's been broken in business even more than it has romantically. I think you still got to keep going. Like, those failures ultimately lead to whatever the next thing is. And sometimes I'm like, damn, this seems like it's taken way too long. I should have had this thing go further. I should be further down this road by now. But often I find, you know, later on with hindsight, that's like, okay, well, I guess this kind of makes sense. It is frustrating though in the moment, because it's like, damn, you allot like all this time and you work super hard and you're hoping for this external goal. And I don't know. I think the universe has ways to kind of surprise us too. Once we stick in there and cling to that part of us that has the strong will, that observer aspect, and the part of us that can overcome, you know, the emotions and learn to identify with that. It's making us stronger and stronger and stronger. And I believe, just because I choose to, I have no real evidence, if I'm honest, other than past experience, that's ultimately going to roll into something that's so unique and custom tailored to me that I couldn't have dreamed it up myself. If that makes sense.
It makes complete sense, because a lot of people feel this way about the inverse energy of that, and that their life is actually a really tailored hell for themselves.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that you can absolutely see it one way or another either time you choose. So do you feel that it really is a choice at that point, that you can just sort of big boy pants, put them on, fucking get over this shit? That's just life. And that's sort of a bit of what we're here to achieve.
A little bit, but not entirely. I think it comes from amassing tools and being aware, because you really, what it comes down to is what the Kabbalion and really all the spiritual stuff comes down to is controlling your mental state. It's mentalism, it's mentality. So that doesn't mean that you just ignore the awful emotions in your body. And it doesn't mean that you shove them down, you know, and repress them either. But having some tools to be able to get into a good state is a very, very smart idea. That's something that, you know, that's really what it comes down to. So maybe it takes you 30, 40 minutes to kind of help yourself get out of that mood, if you can. And if you can't, that's fine too. It's a balancing act. But I think that there are tools where you can challenge your brain and say, I know my brain's tricking me. Once you get out of that brain tricking thing, it opens so many doors and you start to experience the world a little bit differently. So if there's ways to be able to basically, you know, hijack your mind, you just take a ton of action, overwhelm yourself, you know, get out there and start doing something that gets you out of your head, then that's a secret little hack that can be super beneficial. And like, there are elements to it. There is part of just being tough, you know, having strong resilience, emotional fortitude. Those are virtues. I mean, the, Marcus Aurelius and all those philosophers make a lot of great points. There's, of course, the other side of their point too, where it's like, did these guys even have the opportunity to enjoy any of the things that they're experiencing because they're so stoic? So that paradox is always there. But ultimately, if you know what your goal is and what you're moving toward, it's like people say, oh, you're doing all this stuff. Well, I'm working toward one goal, right? Like, yeah, there's a bunch of shit that I'm doing to get to this one goal, but I'm moving in one direction toward that and what it is. So it's really about focus and understanding where you're at and finding and learning tools to be able to help you get through those challenging moments. One of the hardest things I've had to do is just work by myself, you know, and I've been working by myself now for years. And I don't know, I guess sometimes a little bit exhausting, you know, because there's no one to talk to or bounce off or whatever. And so that can be frustrating, but it's also, an opportunity to learn how to, you know, shift. It's like, if you can be mindful in whatever it is that you're doing in that moment, you're going to be so much more effective at it. And instead of, and I've done this in the past where it's like, I'll be literally like writing and I'm like, well, should I be making a video? It's like, no, dude, you're being productive, right? Just be in the thing that you're
Stay
doing
here.
Right now.
Yeah.
But I literally have those thoughts because it's your brain playing tricks on you. What's the most important thing, you know? And so learning how to shut that down and to understand what is important, what is most important, and prioritize those things. I think that's a great place to start. We're always growing and learning and going to be challenged and going through, you know, different problems, shit, garbage that we're going to be going through. It is just part of it and what it is. It's like frustrating, but at the same time, it's beneficial. It's like the world works the way that it does. We can't change it. So how can we leverage it? Leverage is what it's all ultimately about.
You nailed it with this. And so that actually leads me to my next thing. It's kind of a two-parter, but I'm going to ask you the first part first. Okay. Thoughts. What are your thoughts about thoughts?
They just come, don't they? They just like float up in there. It's crazy. So my thoughts about thoughts are that you can't actually control your thoughts, but you can control the direction of your thoughts. So I don't think you can actually be like, well, I'm going to choose everything I think, because that's bullshit. Because there's crazy shit just floating up in there. Stuff you never asked for. Kinky stuff even. But you are going to have those things kind of pop up and fizzle into your mind, but you can change the direction of your thoughts. So for instance, if I wake up and I'm having just suicidal thoughts, which is, I don't know, a typical Tuesday, whatever. And so I get up and I'm like, all right, here we go. I've got this going on. I can lay in bed and I can just lay there and just continue to be basically at the effect of this cloud of, depression, sadness, bleakness, pointlessness, and I could go on, or I could just get up and start writing. So if I can get up and start writing, that puts me in a position where now I'm actively choosing my thoughts as opposed to being at the effect, and allowing them to just push me around and make me go where I want to go. It's not that those thoughts are, not relevant, not important, or shouldn't be listened to. They're coming from an important place. But at the same time, they need to be dealt with in a proper fashion. They don't just need to be either ignored, and they don't just need to be allowed either, right? So I can change the direction of my thoughts. I get up, and what I like to do, my first thing, this is what I'm doing now. My morning routine's changing a lot, but I will just read. I wrote like an essay of like who my higher self is and its characteristics. So I will just read that. And then try to get that in my head and visualize who is this person, who is this person, who is this person? Because that's how transfiguration works. You know, they look at Jesus to become more like him. So it's like the more that you expose yourself, it's an environmental thing, to that thing, the more that you are going to subconsciously pick up on those aspects. So that's my first thing of the day. I always do morning pages. And so my big challenge with morning pages, and this is along the same lines, it's like it's supposed to be free-flowing thought. But if I'm not careful, that just turns into bitching, you know, but I'm a comedian, so I should be able to do that. But still, I try not to, because again, back into permeating myself into that, you know, just like dark emotional coma, you know, that I don't want to walk through the world that way. So I have to actively push my thoughts in a direction of like, okay, what's important for me to focus on today? What do I need to get out? What's bothering me? You know, what do I need to focus on? And then I can take those emotions and ask where they're coming from later and start to focus on those. One thing that I'm in the middle of is a life audit. Sounds nerdy.
This is a Cathars and Gnostics talked about this, about doing this recapitulation is what it's called.
I love that. So one of my good friends, Abby Johnson, she's a big Carlos Castaneda person. So she's real big into recapitulation, the dream world, how all that stuff like relates. But yes. And this is something that's ongoing. It's like when I first started self-help, if you're first starting self-help, you might be like, I'm going to journal once and then I'll have it everything figured out. But it's like, dude, I literally have like a whole entire drawer full of notebooks that I've written journaling and jokes and all kinds of shit. And just, it doesn't actually ever end. So back to that whole idea, it's really about the process. So I'm trying to become this better version of myself, but I know I can't live up to that standard today, you know? And if it becomes a comparison game, then I'm fucked. So I've got to understand what these virtues and values are and slowly embed them into my psyche at a little bit of a time and start to build a process that's going to do that automatically. So the biggest hack when it comes to goal setting and moving in a direction is finding processes, not setting goals. That's the big trick. Like if you come and do a goal setting session with me, we're going to figure out your goal, but that's not the helpful part. The helpful part is the process that you put in place that makes your goal impossible to not achieve. You're going to achieve it as a byproduct of the process that we're doing. So focusing on that and shifting thoughts and the thought stream, as opposed to trying to control individual thoughts. Like you may have, if you have repeat thoughts, you need to get those thought loops out and write them down and figure out why they're happening and start to diagnose those individually, you know? And that goes for me in my morning, you know, I'm just like a barrage. I don't know if it's demons or the fucking 5G tower. I don't know. But, you know, I every morning I'm like, all right, I got to break through this. And it used to not be that hard. And also, there's no real, nobody knows where emotions, you know, really come from. Obviously, it's a chicken or egg kind of thing. The more you're in charge of your thoughts, the better your emotional state is going to be. But still, these random, you know, moments happen, and they happen to us all. So I think it's important in those moments to just recognize it. Like, okay, I'm just like in an emotionally shitty state right now. How can I shift my thoughts to where they're at least neutral? And, you know, I don't have to lie to myself. There's a great book by a guy named Trevor Mawad. He was a coach for Nick Saban and the Georgia Bulldog football team, Kirby Smart, called It Takes What It Takes. That was my favorite of his two books. He has another one called Thinking Neutral. That's also good. But he talks about the idea of neutral thinking in both and how effective that can be, because athletes see right through the bullshit when you walk in there and you're like, come on, guys, we got to believe it. It's like the Mighty Ducks. Quack, quack, quack. You know, they're like, this guy is cheesy Rita. But you know what I'm saying? Like, get out of here, bro. We're not buying what you're selling, because we know you're full of shit. Boo. Exactly. They just like remove it. But when you talk to them in a rational way and make, you know, objective goals, his big thing when he was working for Florida State is that nobody say any stupid negative shit out loud. He's like, you can think it, but just don't say it out loud in the locker room. And so that's a great place to start. You know, for me, I used to come completely undone. If one negative thing would happen, I would shoot into a fucking spiral of negative, just huss and garbage. You know, I would shit on every aspect of my life because a check bounced or whatever, you know, it would just trigger me and I would just completely come unraveled. It was pathetic, you know, but it's taken me some time. I didn't even know I was doing it. I was completely unconscious of it. It's just, it was like a natural thing. This is how society brainwashes us, you know? So ultimately, you know, getting to the point where it's like, okay, I'm just not going to say it out loud. You can still have those thoughts. And then turning that into, okay, well, I'm just going to think neutral about this. And then turning into, okay, this is actually an advantage. Because as you go higher and higher, you probably can, depending on your level of consciousness and your state of consciousness. If people aren't familiar with David Hawkins' scale of consciousness, the map of consciousness, I strongly recommend checking it out. It's awesome, because you can't jump a level. You know, you can't jump from like shame to courage. It doesn't work that way. You have to get pissed off. You have to go through anger to get to courage. And I've been even finding myself, you know, in anger and up to courage, anger, courage, anger, courage. And it shifts. We are always going through those states, you know, where nothing is static except for that observer. So the identification with the observer and the understanding of the goal and or purpose, that's the place to start from. And then building the process will actually make the goal the byproduct. Again, a fucking paradox, but here we are, you know, pretty quick and dirty approach.
It's beautifully stated. I mean, and you nailed it earlier, because what one will find when you've set this goal, you declare, I find in my experience is that set this goal, declare, happening, go. and then tons of momentum. It's riddled with synchronicities. There is a beginner's luck that can be undenied. You can't deny that. It's just, yes, everything. And then comes the resistance, because it's going to test your resolve. It's going to give you a ton of momentum and then give you more than that momentum that's trying to stop you. And you need to make up the difference with your attitude, with your disposition. And usually what stops you is anything that's going to trigger you moving forward down that path that you need to go ahead and address now. Now, what's fascinating about that is that as we navigate through this place, I sort of see it as a toroidal field, right? To where you, as it's coming out of you, it's you're watching it fall like rain in front of a window. And if you follow like one single drop, you could see it come out of you, walk down the wall, and then come back in you. And it seems that this process is observing the direction that it took from the last drop that came in. It's a cyclical process, like a pump. And what you're observing, you feel about as it's occurring. And so that emotional state based on that experience is what's reverberated back in you. This is why you say you can bounce from courage, because you'll see a little bit of courage in that, you know, re-rendering of your universe as it happens, sort of like this cyclical, just automatic updates that's just updating your preferences about reality, but mixed with this juxtaposed challenge and this resistance. Now, what you said earlier is a fascinating point about resistance. And I heard it, I think it was Megan Kittredge that talked about it, is that if you're riddled with resistance, go do something for somebody else. Be helpful, be nice. Now, you could do this in a social situation just simply by being you, because your life goal is similar to mine, and mine is to give people back to themselves. And you do this by giving them permission to have fun, permission to say, fuck the police or whatever, you know what I mean? And so you have these moments of contact within that, but by you stepping out of this stagnancy, you offer yourself a break from the resistance. And that's one of the most fascinating parts about this as well, the sort of balance, you know, like I'll be working on something for hours. All of a sudden, something will start getting glitchy. The computer will start doing weird shit. And I'm like, this isn't normal. Okay, cool. That's my break indicator. Just take a break. It's this fascinating point about momentum and getting something done, but also squirreling. Now, you'll either squirrel naturally or the universe will squirrel for you and throw you a fucking couple of squirrels in your face as you're doing this thing. But it is fascinating to think about that your disposition about it, you need to smile through being slapped with squirrels as you're being, you know, fozzied with squirrels as you're running through this place. But your disposition about it's what's the most fascinating kind of concept to navigate you through this thing. Another thing that I just wanted to bring up, and this is the second part to the question, you mentioned it, the 5G tower. So when we talk about thoughts, it's fascinating when folks like yourself, folks like some of the greatest minds that we appreciate their input on things, talk about you being more of a receiver, that you're just a receiver for thoughts. You're just sort of getting these things beamed into you. Now, there is a conversation to be had about what type of thoughts are beamed into you. Let's say that we're promised. I know a lot of the spiritual community says if you just keep yourself at a certain vibe, that you'll only receive this, right? This concept of like attracts like, but it's not specifically that. I think that's a bit of spiritual bypassing, because you're going to attract the things that need to challenge you to be the like that you want. You know what I mean? But again, it's going to give you some momentum going into it. So when we talk about thoughts, we talk about them being not yours. We talk about them being beamed into your head. There's technology all around us. We know that they've had this technology called Sky 2 Skull, where they could beam this words right into your head. It can happen from all the wireless appliances, allegedly, and all of these things. We know the music tones, frequencies, stuff like this. But these GWEN towers, G-W-E-N, it's an acronym. And that's really more of what this 5G rollout was about, is this idea, allegedly, again, you know, I don't know, but it seems interesting. Whenever you look at these towers going up and then all of a sudden mindsets shifting, I can tell you from personal experience. We live out in the fucking middle of nowhere, dude. And my neighbor across the street and down a couple houses, less than 100 yards, about 100 yards from our house, decided that he would take them up on selling a part of his land for one of these fucking towers. So one of these towers goes up. That's when I start getting the, you know, dark night of the soul if you want, but I do correlate it to that tower being erected. And what's fascinating about this as well is that's when the suicidal thoughts started coming. That's when I started recognizing that there was a lot going on up there that I was unaware of. And it wasn't from a place of ignorance. It was from a place of something's being beamed into me. So that long thing to ask you, when we live around these kind of towers and stuff like this, do you feel that any amount of coaching that we do, any amount of goal setting and things like that can prepare us for the type of barrage that we get with these type of influences? Because now you're not talking about, you know, this is against natural laws. We're told that you shouldn't be able to be fucked with like this, right? So what is the idea, you know, with that? Even with the barragement, do you have any
Yeah, advice. I mean, for me, I get out of it as often as possible. And I can notice a huge difference when I'll drive up to the mountains an hour and a half and be somewhere where there's literally no Wi-Fi. There's no towers like that, you know, in the mountains. So I say, like, you can prepare yourself for it. It's better to know about it than not. That helps you prepare. As far as like taking effective action against it, you know, I think you can really only mitigate the risk of it by taking breaks, getting away from it. But I think that's a really smart way to do it. Honestly, we need to be, or most of us are going to have an affinity for nature and a yearning and desire to connect with nature anyway. So that's a great motivator to get out of the house a little bit more, maybe get on a hike here or there and break away from that. I think that's really good. I spend a lot of time on the road and I'm around this shit all the time, but like there's literally one of those things that you're talking about maybe right on the corner of the street, like maybe two houses down from me.
Were you around when it went up?
I don't know when they put it up. I think it was like during 2020, and yeah. And I sleep with my head facing the north, all that. I used to wake up and my emotional state was completely different than what it is now. My emotional state now when I wake up is not the same as it was before the pandemic. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's here in my house. Like when I'm on the road, things change and I'm underslept and it's hard to even know. Right. But it's hard to measure. But when I'm here, yeah, it's been actually tricky, getting up. For the past couple of years, I used to just like literally just generate like super good, like loving emotions. I would just think about people that I love in the morning. That was my routine then, you know, and then just generate that emotions. Like the more that you focus on it, the more it just expands and grows. And I mean, I would literally have people coming up to me, strangers, like, you have great energy. I'm like, thanks. I'm working on it.
You know, like, thank you, myself.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I don't want to get too vulgar. We'll save that for later, for the second half.
For the afterthought, Link in the show notes, guys.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I have actually noticed a difference. And I don't know if that's why. It could be. But regardless, you know, I've got to just keep doing the best that I can. Morning pages, something that I really do like. And I've had to kind of watch myself with it, because if it just becomes a bitch session, then I don't think that that's actually really helpful. It needs to be somehow constructive. And generally speaking, the idea of morning pages is to just kind of get yourself creating something. It's going to be trash anyway. You could just throw it right in the garbage right after you write whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But yeah, finding routines and ways to challenge that, knowing that it's possibly an effect, and finding ways to get out of that. Nature's great. Get out there, take a walk, get away from 5G towers anytime you possibly can, and all the other internet. We don't even know what the internet does or any of that kind of stuff to us on a real level yet. But I can't imagine that it's very good, like Wi-Fi and microwaves and all the things in our house. I don't think they're particularly good for us. I'm not a scientist. I don't know any of this shit, but I do think that it's probably healthy to just get away and get into your natural habitat, which is not a lot of radio waves and, you know, beaming energies or thoughts or fake birds or any of that shit.
They're fucking not real. We're going to say it. We're going to talk about it. After that, guys, check the show description. You know, it's fascinating, too. You mentioned nature because they have a ton of these fake trees that are these 5G towers, and they'll put cactuses over them all over the place. And in nature, you know, you're like at the trailhead. You're like, what the fuck? All the trees are dead in this one area, but this one's doing great. Hang on. That's not a tree. You know, it's disguised to look like a tree. It's poison disguised to look like something not poisoning you. So it's interesting also the integration. And it's funny too, they don't give a shit about any of the buildings they're building or, you know, trashing any of the nice old world style buildings, but they've now got an affinity for the aesthetics in nature whenever they're dropping things that shouldn't be there out there to make sure that they blend in. Now they give a fuck about the way things look, right? It's just interesting, man. And I'm with you about this. You can't let it bog you down. Now, something I will say about this is that tower thing over here that I flip off every time I see it with love, right? Then we just had Dawn Lester come out, and she was at the Music and Sky Fest, and somebody gifted her a small little piece of Oregonite and a card. And I'm going to get this card so we can talk about it in the afterthought. I'll share who they are. And she came out here and stayed a couple days with us. She's walking around and just, you know, beautiful, you know, older Brit lady, and she is shooting fireworks with us in the front yard barefoot and like dancing off like a 5-year-old, you know. And so we had the best 4th of July with this woman ever. But she brought me this piece of organite. Or when we were talking about, so she said, here, I just feel like I need to give this to you. The second she gave it to me, I ran outside, found exactly where that fucking thing was and pointed it right at it. Now, I'm not going to cause and effect this thing, but I feel amazing. Not one fucking suicidal thought, not one. It lightened everything up. And I don't know if this is I don't know what it is. You know, it's sort of one of those ideas. What's that clip where the lady gives the guy the jar of dirt and she says, here, this will protect you. And he's like, how's this going to protect me? And she's like, well, if you don't want to give it back. And he's like, no. You know, so you kind of maybe give it your, you know, this power, but whatever that little card said, hey, it's going to bust chemtrails and 5G towers and Gwen towers specifically for this sort of, I'm going to say barrage that occurs from those things. And so, yeah, pointed it right up and I could say, man, I feel great. I'm going to share the info and I'll link it down below. So, yes. And then we highly recommend Isaac's Organite. We're an affiliate for him. And these things are just powerful, I think. I don't know if, you know, you can't rule out that the Archons just go, okay, dial it back for a little bit so he gets faith on this and then we'll really crank it up, fuck him over. I'm not looking forward to balancing all opportunities with including the Archons in this. You know, like you, I'm really choosing actively to move forward with some grace here with this thing. And like you said about the curation of thoughts, at a couple of days after I put this thing up, I had what felt like me back. It felt like the me that is able to grab his thoughts and go, hang on, that's not me. Move on, you know, and send them on their way with ease. And now I caught myself. There's usually, it's a cycle of like 3 to 5 things that my mind will just sort of dance around, right? And I've noticed that whenever the first one came in, the typical, like the go-to, I immediately saw it, laughed at it, and it moved on about its way. And then it just went through the list, dude. Predictable as ever. I was like, yep, that one's, yep, and there it is. Oh, right on time. That's interesting. And I had such an empowering feeling about it that I just let it dance right off, and it was amazing. Now, I'm not going to say throwing a piece of organite in front of the 5G towers was what did it, but it made me feel like it did something, and maybe that's all it took, right?
I mean, anybody can just Google placebo effect, nocebo effect. Like,
yeah.
Everything is mental anyway. You know, it doesn't invalidate it to say it was a mental thing. Everything is, you know, and it's crazy. Like, I was sitting in a room with like a multimillionaire for the past 2 weekends, self-made, you know, not somebody who got gifted their stuff. But this dude broke his leg and went into the hospital and they were like, do you sure you don't want any painkillers? He's like, nah, I don't need it. My body makes it automatically. Didn't take any fucking pain pills. He had already torn his ACL. Then he broke it. Like, it's like, bro, it's amazing the power of the mind when we learn how to leverage it. It's difficult to learn the techniques and have the awareness in the moment to begin to leverage that. But man, it's like you're talking about, once you do, holy shit. Now you're just like, oh, I see. Oh, there's that next thought. Boom, boom, boom. And look, you just move right through that.
It was easy.
Everything should be easy. That's the thing about it. When I'm saying our brain is playing tricks on us, that's the foremost trick. That shit's hard. That's the foremost trick. And it's bullshit. Like, we are naturally able to do anything that we need to be able to do. We have the capacity, the ability, and the competency built in. It's just, we've tricked ourselves into thinking we don't. Because of the social fucking hypnotic trance that everyone's in. Like, no, I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. From the age, you know, 5, we've just been, you know, beaten around into submission of whatever the narrative of the mainstream social order is. So getting out of that and finding ways to do it, that's huge. I just found out about, you know, this whole social hack thing. I mean, of course, there's many, many, many ways to start to get into a good state. You just dance in your house, just go for a walk and go get in nature, paint, do what, you know, Clinton's doing here. And everybody's different. You got to find what works for you. And that's, I encourage people to do that. There's no like template. You know, that's one of the more frustrating things when it comes to self-help and coaching and stuff like that. Cause it's like, if you could just give someone, you know, like a really tailored process and then that would work for everyone, just like this, then it would be so easy to just McDonald's manufacture that. And there's a lot of people who have tried to do that. But the truth of the matter is that you have to do your thing differently than anybody else does it. It doesn't mean that you can't take lessons and you couldn't even take a bunch of techniques or whatever that were in the box and understand the strategy of why they're being used. But then you still got to create your own system, your own way. Otherwise, it's not going to suit you. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of getting off on a tangent with that.
No, but you nailed it with it, because it's like the Ninja Turtles, man. You know, Donatello had the staff, right? Raphael had those scythes. Michelangelo had the nunchucks, and Leonardo had the swords. I mean, everybody has their own, you know, their skill set, but together they were banger, you know?
Yeah. Well, then that's synergy, right? And so
that's synergy.
Yeah. The last podcast that I had this lady from Austin, and she's amazing. You should check her workout. Her the way she thinks about content is pretty brilliant. Her name's Courtney Johnson. What she does is she's really working hard to just basically build an ecosystem with the people in her network, right? So from a financial perspective, they're intentionally building an ecosystem together, and her content's fantastic. Her podcast is called Slay the Gatekeeper. So what she's trying to do is get the secrets out that people are hiding. And, you know, she lives in Austin, so there's like a lot of tech bros and stuff. But dude, on that podcast, she shared a bunch of truth drops on there, and her social media is really good. I've learned a lot from it, and I don't really follow a lot of people when it comes to social media stuff, just because, you know, we're all trying to do our own thing. But the way that she puts her things together, I found a lot of insight into. And I'm excited to talk to you too, because I know we had mentioned some things too that we could talk about, just as far as like different content and being able to serve people better. But I think she does a great job and has some amazing insight into it. I'm just throwing that out there for anybody who's interested.
Yeah, it's outstanding. We'll definitely check her out. I got it noted here. Thank you. Want to make sure absolutely that we have one more question, a couple more questions here before we get into the afterthought, and then we're going to get into the afterthought. So guys, definitely check the show description down there. We're going to look up all kinds of stuff. Some more info on Gwen Towers. We're going to dive into that a little bit more, as well as birds, bugs, and all kinds of shit flying around. May not be real. Maybe government spy drones, or worse, or better. I don't fucking know. We'll talk about it. There's probably a sex tape out there on everybody. You know what I mean? Just from these fucking little mosquitoes zooming in there, spying on motherfuckers. Anyway, we're going to check that. So check the show notes for that. Want to also check in with our artist, Clinton Kirk. Look at that thing, man. If you guys have been watching down here, audio only audience, highly recommend you pop over to the video and check it out just for a little bit. He created all of these individual pieces on translucent paper, coloring them on the back, bold line on the front. And then is now adhering them to, is that fabric? Yeah, it's like a painter's cloth with different pieces of paint. Guys, it's what I'm butchering, you know, what the magic he actually created here. But holy shit, what a cool thing. Just thank you so much, man, for doing that. And he's also going to chime in the afterthought. I know he's got stuff to say. He's going to defend. He's seen a baby pigeon, allegedly. I don't know. But we're going to talk about it. So I want to know, because you mentioned earlier that things aren't real, not just birds, but like anything. So whenever we get encountered with sort of the idea that lizard turds are out there snatching up babies, or, you know, that there are horrific plans going on out there to usurp the energies of the world and all this kind of stuff. What do you say to that? That the concept of that, does it exist, or does the fact that it may exist be the whole point of it?
Yeah, it's hard to know. That's one of those things that's so frustrating. It's so out in front right now, too, that it's repulsive and disgusting. Like, one of the first things it does say in the Kabbalion is that reprehensible sex acts and all that kind of stuff, they don't stand for that shit. You know, it's really about resolving all of the ancient models, systems, beliefs, spiritual doctrines into one system. That's like the whole point. And the point is not to take advantage of anybody else with that. When I say nothing is real, what I really mean is you can't tell me what reality is, and neither can Neil deGrasse Tyson or any other chump out there who pretends like they are smart. I don't know. Like, no one, this whole thing, no one. I can't even tell you how many books on the shelf that I have to trying to explain this shit, and none of them are correct. You know what I mean? They are all correct and also not correct at the same time. But I think that's what we're all trying to do, is try to understand reality. Like, we have a primary need to understand how our reality works from a fundamental, subjective, individual level, right? If I'm wrong about reality, then I might be eating dog turds to stay alive. Right now I die and get dysentery and fucking Oregon Trail. But, you know, like the thing is that we need to understand how reality works from our perspective. What is reality? So when I say no one can tell you what reality is, that means no one is objective enough to be able to conceptualize the largeness that reality is. Only can we see it through our own individual perspective. That is the limit of my consciousness. I can't go any further until I hit the dream state, which is probably an OBE anyway. But that's really what I'm talking about. And I think we have to each define that for ourselves. So as far as like fighting an unseen enemy or even a seen enemy that's so impossible to approach or get close to for whatever reason, I think it's just a bit of a wild goose chase. And it's probably better to just focus on my reality, what I can do, what I can contribute, building that ecosystem that like we're talking about and doing something that is, you know, off the main sort of charted course for people. And yeah, we're still using a lot of the tools of that sick world, but it's almost impossible to not, you know, I do think there's a way to move out of that. But I don't think that you can just, it's kind of like the levels of consciousness thing. You can't just jump to that. You know, you've got to build processes and slowly move toward whatever that goal is. So yeah, I think that stuff is happening. I mean, I left Hollywood for a lot of reasons. Two main ones, mostly just the garbage that was being put out. But the biggest reason why I left is because they mandated, the jabby thing. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. Deuces. Thanks for teaching me how to produce. I'm out of here, bitch. You know, but I did get some great skills. But when you're in that world, you get to kind of, I got to, I mean, not everybody gets to, as you, most people are below the line, but you know, you get to kind of see who is in charge and how they act and all that kind of stuff. I think there's a lot of validity to what people suspect is going on in Hollywood. But I don't know how to stop it other than to just create something better. So that's why I really have started focused on individual, independent content, independent creators. Love what Chris Matthews is doing. You got that thing on Tubi. You know, I've recently had something that I consulted and worked on go to Tubi, which is cool. I got a writing credit. Yay.
Hey.
You know, doing different alternative things is, I think, a better energy than trying to figure out a way to stop the cabal. Cause like if birds aren't real and mosquitoes aren't real and they're spying on us, good luck stopping the cabal. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know if that's the best use of energy, you know? And that's really what we need to focus on is, we have a limited amount of, you know, physiological energy, and how can we leverage that? So,
absolutely beautiful, dude. I just love you. You know, because this thing is challenging to navigate. And as I've said quite a bit, and I'm actually becoming pretty self-aware of it now, and I'm going to change it mindfully because of you. I've said a lot of times that the things that we talk about on here are simple, not easy. Because it is, as it applies to you needing to change yourself with the new concepts and see things differently, which is embodying things differently, which is getting through all the states that you talked about constantly, then, you know, it can feel very real for that statement. But you've empowered me to say simple and easy. I'm more of the yes and. And that's interesting that I'm even just in real time here catching one of my own limiting beliefs as I look forward to shunning all beliefs. It's very interesting. And same thing with the Gwen Tower thing. You know, we talk about this, but it's like, oh, but it's over there. It's not over here. But I was mentally affected by something, and that's full stop. Now, rather it was that thing that did it or not, I was mentally affected. And so it took something else that I thought, again, mental, to come in, a physical object, because I'd put value on a physical thing doing physical damage to me. And so, again, interesting when we start really getting introspective about this. And looking at ourselves in a real light, and you just really empower us to do that, brother. I can't be more grateful for you in my experience. And just thank you for sharing your awesomeness with everyone, dude.
Dude, likewise, man. You're so inspiring to me, and I love what you're doing. I'm so glad that we have connected and we started to collaborate a bit. It's fucking awesome. And I love what Clinton's got down here too. I couldn't help but like watch him, like as he was positioning what he just wrote on that piece of paper.
Nothing is real. Yeah. God, it is so cool, Clinton. And all the ways again to find him are going to be located down below, so you guys can check out what he wants to do with this piece. Maybe he offers it. Maybe he wants to do something cool. Either way, that's incredible, and highly recommend you guys go check out this incredibly cool artist and support his work. All of his, you know, things that you could follow him on will be located down there. But, dude, Owen, can't thank you enough, man. Send us off with where folks can find you, though it will be linked down below, but your own words is always nice. And then also what gets you out of bed every morning, man. We'll get to this afterthought.
All right. Well, yeah, you guys can find me on all the ones and zeros at Bootsy Greenwood. That's my stripper name. So keep that in mind, too, if you're looking for some late night fun. But but I have a podcast called Blue Collar Mystics. I try to make the mystical practical. And yeah, you can find me Facebook, Instagram, all that Blue Collar Mystics as well. And then my YouTube channel, I have a lot of audio books. And those are published by Blue Collar Mystics. That's my publishing company. And then my author name is Bootsy Greenwood. And for the Kabbalion, I also took a pseudonym of the Fourth Initiate. And both hasn't struck me dead yet. So fucking rock on, man. But yeah, please check that stuff out. Yeah, find your purpose. Sit down. Love yourself. Take care of yourself. And please give us the gift that you have within you so that we can appreciate it and... and we can use it to further humanity. I don't know. That's sort of corny, but I don't really give a shit anymore. I don't care. Sometimes the truth is fucking corny. So eat it. All right. Peace. That's it.
Just want to take a moment and thank Owen Hunt for that incredibly cool conversation. And of course, Clinton Kirk for that incredibly amazing art piece that he facilitated along with it. All the links to find both gentlemen are linked down below. Make sure you guys check that out, as well as the Patreon link that'll get you into the afterthought. And that is a banger, guys. Go definitely check that out. We're going balls deep into Birds Aren't Real. Fucking none of it's real. All of it's bullshit. And we have a blast talking about it. So definitely check that out. A great way to support your favorite show, as well as join us for the hangouts. Those are always awesome. We're doing this completely cool series, Astrology and You, with Emily Trinkus. She's pulling everybody's charts and talking about how it's relevant to you. And so it's fascinating, guys. Highly recommend. Now, beyond anything and all of that, go out into this incredibly beautiful place and find the magic within yourself, because that's where it's to be found, allegedly. So just, that's where it's at. So go harvest it from there. Also, while you're out there just crushing it at life in general, pick up a piece of litter. Might as well get out of the left-hand lane and be nice to everybody that you come across. But also, and beyond anything else, you know, go out into this wild ass, weird ass, fucking whatever the fuck realm, and just be good to one another. Thank you so much for watching, listening, subscribing, liking, sharing, doing all the things that are important to folks like me that do this thing. But beyond anything else, just thank you for being you. We'll see you next time.